the great resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, we hear St. Paul write these words in verse 54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. There is a church body whose doctrine and message is heard around the world in more ears than any other religion on earth, beyond Islam or Christianity or Buddhism, Hinduism. It is not organized the way that we maybe typically think of a church body, and yet it has more pulpits and preachers than any Christian denomination around the world. And it has sanctuaries scattered everywhere, in cemeteries and cremation incinerators. Its pulpits are hospitals and funeral homes and coffins and hearses. Its sacraments are not water, but formaldehyde, not bread and wine, but cotton and embalming fluids. And its primary theologians are doctors and morticians. It is the death church. And it proclaims one primary doctrine. It has one line of confession. You shall surely die. And all of us, since the time we were born, have been indoctrinated into the teachings of this death church. And we may not care for its teachings, but we listen to its preachers constantly, nearly every day of our lives. And it started for us on our birthday. Ironically, a day that we celebrate as a day to think about life. But have you ever noticed, at least for some people, as they get older, they don't like to mark their birthdays. They don't like to celebrate the fact that they're getting older. Why is that? Because those birthdays are also a reminder of how much closer we're getting to another important day, our death day. And each day that we mark off on a calendar takes one step closer to that. So which of those tiny little squares coming up in my future will be my death day? It's hard for us to face just how corruptible, using the words that St. Paul uses here, just how corruptible these human bodies are. I remember when I was a little boy, I lived near the campus here, and I used to play in the ravine that's over by Gullickson and Edgewood. And when I was about 9, a couple of friends and I were wandering down in that ravine and ran across, I think if I remember, it was a dead raccoon. It had been dead for a couple days. And it was the first time I really smelled a dead carcass. And oh, was that awful. If you've ever smelled rotting flesh. When I was in high school, I had a friend that used to work in kind of not quite a nursing home, a senior housing unit over in New Ulm. And one day he came back from work and he was so upset because he had walked in on the dead body of a lady that had died about 4 days earlier. And he said as soon as he opened the door, he vomited. The stench of death. It's hard for us to face just how corruptible these human bodies are that we have. Imagine for a moment a prisoner on death row, and he's sitting in his cell, and he knows he's going to die, and he has to stare out every day at the building on the compound, which is where his execution is going to take place. And that's what his window is focused on. And so this is just what's in front of him all the time, kind of a picture of how we are about death in our future and so on. But then imagine if all of a sudden he receives news that the governor of the state has sent a pardon for him, and he is now set to be released in about a week and will be getting out. And it turns out that that very chamber where the executions take place also happens to be the exit to the prison. And now he can look at that building across from his cell while he's still waiting, with a completely new attitude and a whole new set of eyes. Because of the atoning work of our Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf, and because of the power of his resurrection by which you and I have been justified, declared right before God by his grace, through faith in Christ, we now have received divine pardon from the eternal execution that would take place for us. And that means that we can now look at our future death and our death date in a completely different way, with a whole new set of eyes. St. Paul says it so beautifully in our text and powerfully. Death has been swallowed up in victory. The Greek word there has to do with devouring something, eating it quickly, and consuming it entirely. Just like a mother bird who sees a poisonous worm in the nest trying to get at her little chicks, and she decides to pluck at it with her beak and pick it up in her mouth and eat it and digest it to keep it away from harming her chicks. Our Lord Jesus Christ has chosen to eat death for us. He has chosen to go to the cross. He took a bite out of death on Calvary. He chewed on it in the grave. He swallowed it in his burial. And by his rising to life again on that first Easter Sunday, he has completely consumed and digested it down to the last morsel, so that it is completely gone and destroyed for us as far as harming us. I always often wonder what it would have been like if God would have let us take a candle and sit inside of Christ's tomb on that Sunday morning, and with the glow of that candle to have seen his body come back to life. What do you think maybe was the first indication? His eyelids blinking? Or maybe seeing his chest start to move with breathing again? Maybe a twitch in his hand or something? His lips starting to open to breathe again? What an amazing sight that must have been to watch the actual revivification of this corpse and to see our Lord come back to life and arise so gloriously. Well, it's that same Jesus who says to those of us who cling to him by faith, because I live, you will live also. Imagine what it's going to be like for you and me in our graves when that same revivification process takes place by the command of Christ. Your rising and being given a glorified body is going to be no less amazing than that first one on Easter. And when that day finally comes, when we, as St. Paul says, put on, when we get dressed in these bodies that are now glorified, when we put on immortality, we will no longer be subject to death or its decomposition in any form. And then the saying that Paul quotes at the end will come true. Death is swallowed up in victory. Today, I invite you to convert from the death church, and through faith in Christ to move your membership to the life church, because he alone has the power to change your death day into an eternal birthday. Amen. Please rise. I invite you to take your hymn book and turn to page 155. Page 155. And find their collect or prayer number 62, page 155. Please join me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you delivered your Son for our offenses and raised him again for our justification. We beseech you, grant us your Holy Spirit that he may rule and govern us according to your will. Graciously keep us in the true faith. Defend us from all sins, and after this life, raise us to eternal life. Through the same, your beloved Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.